So they said, what did you miss the most? I said, listening to Waylon Jennings. My country music, that's what I missed the most, you know. So anyway, so I've had implants since 2005. I'm totally deaf. I take them off. I can see your lips moving. These are but many challenges I've had, and it allowed me to appreciate things even more. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And instead of feeling bad or feeling sorry for yourself or using it as an excuse, it opens up your eyes to look around, to be grateful, just to be able to get up and walk in the morning, huh? So when we have these physical challenges, it allows you to be more grateful. It allows you to move out of your feeling sorry for yourself stage, you know, and just keep moving ahead, okay? So I started making my dolls a long time ago as my therapy. So I have to tell you a dream I had about a year ago. About a year ago, I had this beautiful dream, and it just still, I'm still trying to figure out what it means. I dreamt I was on this big boat on the middle of the ocean. It had to be the ocean. Big boat was going. And I had my hand on the rail, and I was expecting something to happen. All of a sudden, this big fish just jumped out of the water, and he was going right next to the boat. And it was a big fish. Was it a whale? I don't know. It was a big fish. All of a sudden, this big fish jumped up way up there. And as soon as it his snout hit the water, his skin peeled back. His whole back was covered with dentelium shells. How many of you know what a dentelium shell is? So his spine was big ones, and it cascaded down to little ones. So his whole back was covered with dentelium shells, and he went in the water like that. And I woke up. So some of my dolls, I used dentelium shells to decorate my doll dresses. And one of the things, so when I was in the Northwest, I was in the Lummi tribe about 2 weeks, 2 months after I had a dream. So I asked all those ladies from the Northern California along the coast. They all love dentelium shells. So you girls, what does it mean? They were all talking amongst themselves. Julie says, it means you have to marry some guy up here and move up here with us. So they had all these great interpretations of the dentelium shell. Up to this day, I'm getting pieces of what it means. Does that make sense? And I haven't quite gotten the true message of what the meaning of that big fish and the dentelium shells. But one thing I do know, the dentelium shell was a trade item. And it came from the coast, Northern California, up to Oregon coast, where they were the most, well, that's where they got them. The Indians along the coast used them to decorate their dresses. Then it came the plateau up to Idaho, up to Yakima, all of this way into Montana, and it ended up in Pine Ridge. If you take a look at the old pictures, you're going to see a lot of dentelium shell dresses, okay? And then the kauri shells were also a trade item. So they were valued so much. One of the things in my research is that the Indian ladies were so happy to get out of buckskin dresses because they're hot and clingy. So when the traders brought, so under my dress, my dolls, their underdresses, plaid. Why plaid? It was a trade item, yep. So it came from where? Huh? Where did plaid come from? What part of Europe? Huh? Scotland. So the plaid came as a trade item to the Great Plains. If you look at the old pictures, you'll see a lot of plaid dresses. At the Museum of the Fur Trade in Shattered, Nebraska, you're going to see the displays of all the plaids that came to as a trade item. So the Indian ladies were so happy, so they started making dresses out of the plaid fabric. Did you know that? How many of you also know that the Plains Indian women made dresses out of their flour sacks? during the Depression, right? The flower sacks were beautiful prints, right? And so there was no money, no fabric stores, and so everybody bought flower. They kept them. And those flower sacks became dresses, right? Yeah. And shirts, huh? And for Indian women, they became dresses, too. So flower sacks during the Depression. So the company who used flower sacks saw that, so they started making even prettier flower sacks. And so people bought more flour. That's why we're all fat, you know. There are no fat Indians. I'm not a fat Indian. I'm just full of dough. Why do I say that? Because diabetes is caused by flour. White flour is dangerous. White flour is poison. I'm trying to tell Indian people, don't be eating white flour. Don't be eating bread, fried bread, cookies, and donuts. Get rid of that from your diet if you don't want to be diabetic. How many of you know that? Maybe once in a while, you know. But anyway, so I did all this research. So all of my dresses, the underdress, is plaid. As a symbol of that trade time. Not the other piece is that if you take a look at some of the old pictures in my cloth dress dolls, have a little white around the edge, the hem and the sleeve. Stroud, England made white wool blankets. Those white wool blankets were sent to the United States as a trade item. The Lakota people liked red and blue. And so when they got to New Hampshire, Massachusetts, someplace, these white wool blankets from Stroud, England, they dyed them. So they would put these blankets, wooden claps around the edges, and they would dip them and dry them, and when they dried and they took the wooden things off, it was still white around the edge. So if you see the old pictures of the old Indian women dresses, that white edging, so they used it as a decoration. How cool is that? So the Indians in South Dakota, plains like red and blue, and then the Crows like green. So they started making green blankets for trade. So everything that I do on my dolls, there's a reason why. I do a lot of research. And so I buy the white, and I make the little white edging around the jacket. The other thing we use is a lot of brass. Where did that come from? Military, we use a lot of brass. How many of you know that? You can see some of the uniforms. The Hotchkiss, how many of you know about the Hotchkiss? And how big were those shells? So the Hotchkiss machine gun that was brought to the prairies years ago, so when those shells were spent, that bottom of that shell was brass. So they knocked it out, and they made belts. And they used the other metals to make things. So they used everything. So that's what a lot of the brass came from that we used in our adornment. So we use brass more often up here than we do silver. How many of you know that? So we use a lot of brass, yeah. So we're always looking for ways to adorn our dresses using brass. So anyway, so today, my reason I now know why I make women dolls is that I had to heal myself. I had to, in the process of making these dolls, was rebuilding myself. Does that make sense? Making myself whole. And as I'm making these dolls, as I'm rebuilding myself, I had to look back in all of my traumas, all of the things that happened to me as a little girl and as a woman. I had to make myself whole. So as I'm putting these doll bodies together, what I was doing was fixing myself. Does that make sense? I was fixing myself, one piece at a time, yeah? So the bodies changed over time to now they're really nice. They have a waistline, hey? Most dolls are kind of round. Mine have a waistline, yeah. So I realized as I'm making them, that was about me. So what happens today, and so when I'm sitting there making them, I don't cry. So Red Cloud Indian School Heritage Center has this huge art show. How long has it been going on, Laura? Yeah. And so it's a huge art show right on the Pine Ridge Reservation at Red Cloud Indian School. I went to school there for 10 years, and I had a lot of bad memories about that school. So I never wanted to have any of my dolls in that art show because I still needed to heal from the times that I was there. About 5 years ago, my older sister and I said, come with me. I'm going to go to Los Angeles. In Lakota, we say, Nagi Glioyayo. Nagi Glioyaye. We're told that wherever we live in the world, our spirits sometimes still stay at those places. Our spirits are still somewhere, and sometimes we need to take the time to go to those places and symbolically grab your spirit and bring it back to make yourself whole. When we were little girls, we go out there picking berries and stuff. When she stand on that wagon and she'll be calling us. She'll be calling all of us by name. Because that's a beautiful day so your spirit can run around. How many of you heard that? Your spirit can be running around out there playing, and then you need to call it back. Because if you don't call it back, you're going to have a restless night because your spirit is still running around in your home. So my son always gets, so we lived in L.A., we go to Disneyland every year. So we'd be out in the parking lot, and I'd be calling him, just hi. And my sister would be calling her kids. We'd be calling our kids back from the Matterhorn or someplace. They're still running around up there. Come back. So my uncle says, so it was time for me to go to L.A. and go after my spirit. So my sister went with me. So we left at 6 in the morning, took off, played Sundance songs all the way to L.A. I was driving. Oh, my God, the crazy place. Oh, that traffic, okay? Yeah, and then we went to Rose Hills to go visit my mom, and then we came back. All the little towns I lived in symbolically left medicine. Hiwe achignik te wana. And then along the way, I grabbed my children's spirit. Ho nish ya wana unglakte. So we got to Long Beach. And there was, in Long Beach, California, my children's father and I lived there. So I was looking for the apartment that we lived in because I needed to let him go. Couldn't find it. Apparently, they built this huge apartment complex, but the address was the same. So I went out and I left medicine and hovana achiush. I had to let him go. And then we got back in. So my brother-in-law called. He said, where are you girls at? So my sister said, we're in Long Beach. We're getting ready to head back. We have a car full of spirits. Whoa, we got all kinds of spirits. Ah, so they're just having a good time. We went back on the freeway. We got to San Diego. We got downtown. I said, hey. She said, what? Go to Old Town, to Guadalajara. I need a margarita. So we pulled into Old Town to Guadalajara. If you go to San Diego, Guadalajara is good. Next day, I went to every place I lived and worked in San Diego. I went to the cancer center where I worked for 5 years. I went to the 11th floor where I took care of cancer patients and helped so many of them die, because so many of our people die without anybody being next to them. How many of you know that? How sad is that, huh? And so I was over there, got my spirit. I went all over, came back. And so symbolically, I had me. So that was on Thursday. Friday morning, everybody was knocking on my door. Guess what happened? My children's father died in Oklahoma. And my sister said, you know, when you released him, he must have felt it. So he died at the VA hospital 2 days later. So our prayers are powerful. My prayer was to Dukdelya unke heha ikameshnia. Wherever you are, know we know why you did it. We're letting you go. 2 days later he was dead. So whenever we go to release our stuff, and anyway, long story short, we came to ceremony. So the spirits were saying, well, the spirit said, you still have some pieces left. I said, where do I have to go now? They said, you spent all that time in Canada. We'll go get it for you. We're faster. So they took off, and they went all over Canada, Saskatchewan, Alberta, all the places I worked, and they went after me. Long story short, they brought me back together. I'm whole again. What I want to encourage you to do is to continue to heal yourself, bits and pieces. Because what I want for you is the day you die, that you die in peace. No regrets. How many of you want that? No regrets. Let it go. I don't believe in forgiveness. Forgiveness is highly overrated. Somebody hurts you, they can't take that pain away, can they? Can they? No, they can't. The pain is in you. How many of you know that? And you're hanging on to it. True? So what you have to do is do your little ceremonies like I do. So you're holding on to the pain. Doesn't matter who put it there. You're hanging on to it, and you have to let it go. You have to let it go. That's such an important lesson for all women. Because along our journey, we've been hurt. How many of you know that? And so that pain was caused by somebody, right? But that somebody's not going to take it away from you. It's not their responsibility to take it away from you. You're holding it. And that's the hardest thing, is to let it go. I used to get near to hanging on, release it, let it go. So my dolls were my healing. Making them, putting them together with my healing. To bring me to this place of balance and harmony. And when today I make them with joy. I make them, and I always think about my mother sitting next to me, because she's the one who taught me how to sew by hand, how to do beadwork. She's the one that taught me how to put colors together. Just showed me. She didn't say, do it this way. She'll be talking, and I'll watch her. She'll be sitting and putting it all together. So whenever I talk about this, it's about art. And create an expression of art. It's more often for me, it's been of healing, of bringing myself together and celebrate who I am. I'm this amazing Indian woman, damn it. I've done so much and I've traveled so much. And along the way, I was watched over by the Unchis, the grandmothers. So tonight, the most powerful woman is going to be with us. And who is she? The moon. We call her Unchihawi. In Lakota culture, Unchihawi is feminine. She is the powerful entity that I talk to. She's a powerful entity. So when you look at your body, what percentage of your body is water? Yeah, so we're full of water. If you're a little chubby, you've got more water than the other ones. Yeah. So whenever we look at our body, and if the moon can move oceans, right? if the moon has all this power, imagine the power that you could get from her being mostly water to heal yourself. Does that make sense? And all you have to do is say, help me, help me, help me. That's all. That's all you say, help me, help me, help me. Her energy and her force to come into your body. I said, grandmother, I don't want to carry this. Take it from me, please. And symbolically, let it go. And she'll take it from you. So we have all these things that we've learned on how to pray. And how to pray is just talking. True? Talk about what's going on. Talk about what you need to let go. And believe it's not going to happen overnight. God's not going to send you an email and say, hey, Lord, I took care of it. You don't have to worry about it anymore, you know. You have to believe that they are listening to you. True? So this making creativity has been wonderful for me, and I've just been doing more of it. And I was just telling Laura, I have a yen to paint. I've been wanting to paint. Who knows? I might be the next Georgia O'Keeffe from Pine Ridge Reservation. You never know. So one of the other, one of my other helpers, we look at helpers. So many, many years ago, I had this profound dream. How many of you dream? And how many of you write down your dreams? How many of you write the symbols of your dreams? You need to practice it. As soon as you get up, write it. The symbols in your dreams are messages. And the symbols of our dreams, if we pay attention to them, can help us make decisions and make better choices. And it means making, changing your whole life sometimes. So your dreams and the symbols of your dreams are really important. So I've had some profound dreams. And so one of the things that, one of my favorite dreams is that how many of you, whenever you're going on a road trip, you're worse than the kids. You pull in, fill up your gas tank, get chips and candy and pop, right? Anyway, so I was stopped at this road intersection, road going this way, road going this way. I stood in the middle of that intersection, and I looked around. Where am I supposed to go? There's no signs. There's no saying, this is going here. It was all empty. Did I take a road that night? No, I didn't. So, a few months later, I had a dream again. Did I realize I had to take a road? What was the message in that dream? There's no signposts. You just have to take a road. What was the message in that dream? Trust. Trust. To take that road, I had to trust. And the trust was not there. Who was that? I had a trust. So I took that road going west, very slow, 5 miles an hour. There's still no signs, nothing to tell me where I was. It was just a road. The next thing, I'm going 5 miles an hour. So far, the road was still there, right? So I went up to 10 miles an hour. The road's still there. Okay. Sad. Next thing I know, I'm hauling ass, you know, and I woke up. So I just wanted to share with you that through my life, I've had all these little things, good, bad, and ugly, happen to me. But the most important thing was to really honor the healing that can take place with creation, being creative, the healing that can take place as you're doing things. And only until the last year, I began to truly appreciate making my Indian dolls was about Cecilia becoming whole again, to strength to make myself strong and whole, and there I am, strong and whole. Does that make sense? And so it's taken all these years, but it's all coming together finally. The other piece of that is to understand the gifts. So the greatest gift the Creator gave women was to create the gift of bringing forth the next generation, to appreciate our bodies, to name our body parts. So I always tell women the most sacred part of your body is right here, and it's called a uterus. The most sacred part of your body is right here, because there the next generation grows and it comes into the world. True? A man can't do that, huh? So women, we've been given this wonderful gift to bring forth the next generation. And we need to teach our young girls about that, to make better choices on who they create the next generation with. True? Yeah, no. Yeah, no is a complete sentence. And the other thing, what the other piece, and part of the other piece I've really been expounding on is the sperm. And so I did this presentation in Nevada. And I said, I wonder how many gigabytes a sperm has of memory. So this is a realization. So I'm sitting there. I had to do a workshop, but I had to do some work. So I took my flash drive and I stuck it into the USB port. Oh, my God. That flash drive was one sperm. The computer was me. That flash drive, one sperm, has the memory of that man for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yes or no? Yes. Every sperm has a different memory. Yes or no? So if you line up your whole family together, say mother and father, do you look alike? No, you don't. Sometimes. But we're not identical. And that tells you that each sperm has a different memory. So every time that sperm and egg come together and they start to make you, the memory of that sperm for hundreds of years, you might be tall, short, a light skin, dark skin, curly hair, straight hair, right? So that one sperm has a lot of memory. That sperm then and that egg come together. So between her memory and his memory, what happens? Here we are. So the sperm is sacred. You understand that? The sperm is sacred because the sperm has a gift. The sperm coming together with the egg come together, and here we are. Cool. So the sperm is sacred. So we have to teach our boys and our young men to honor their sperm. Yeah? No. Does that make sense? So we have to move away from men and their bodies and their penises and their sperm. That sperm is sacred, because without that sperm, human beings would be on this earth, would they? Huh? And how come we don't talk about that stuff? Answer me that. Why don't we talk about stuff like that? Why are we not creating teaching methods? Why are we not talking to our boys and our little boys and our grandsons about how sacred they are? Huh? So this scientist sent me this. I have it somewhere. He said, "Miss Firethunder, I heard you, so I just wanted to tell you how many gigabytes there are in a sperm with memory." You ever think about that? Huh? One sperm has a memory of that man for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so it's sacred. So as we move ahead, we need to start talking about these things, and that we have a great responsibility. So God does not create life. How many of you know that? Come on, one more time. God does not create life. God gave us the gift to create life. Gave that guy the sperm and gave me the egg, right? And together, they come together and magic happens, and here we are. God's too busy. God's going to be running around the world going like this. No. So God gave us the gift to procreate. True? Come on. Yes or no? Yeah. So we need to start thinking out of the box. So what can we start teaching our young boys to not only respect and value themselves, but other human beings? So what I wanted to leave you with is this. In our lifetime as human beings, we are given many opportunities to learn. See, hear, do. And sometimes it scares the bazoozas out of us to try something new and different. How many of you find that sometimes? I don't. Yeah. Yeah. But one of the things that I'm grateful for is never being afraid, but doing it. And along the way, I learned a lot of things. Okay. And the most important thing I've learned, and it's sometimes for some people it's the hardest, to look at people one-on-one. Not as a race of people, but get to know that person. No matter what color or race they are, one-on-one, get to know that person. You know, it could be a white guy, it could be a white woman, it could be an Asian woman, it could be a black woman. It doesn't matter. Get to know that person one-on-one. And that's the gift. You see? So you can't be making speeches about, well, I know this one black woman, they're not all that way. Oh, I know that one Indian woman, they're not all that way. Oh, I know all these white women, and yes, they are all that way. No. You know? So anyway, so the greatest gift the Creator gave us is to allow ourselves to get to know each other on a one-on-one basis. And through that, we see the world a little bit differently. True? And how many people are afraid to do that? Get to know each other one-on-one, huh? So I can say some of my best friends are black guys or black women. Some of my best friends are white women. And the little town I live in, Mark Verlaine knows the little town I live in is mostly German, right? German Lutherans. I have to tell you a funny story. So I get a phone call one day from my friend's mom. She's the president of the DAR. I didn't know what DAR was, Daughters of the American Revolution. I said, okay, so what do you want me to do? She said, oh, we're having our monthly meeting. We want you to come and talk to us. I said, sure, okay. I didn't know what DAR was. I did some quick research, you know. I said, okay, these ladies think they have it over us on loving the American flag. Hey. Wait till they see what us Indian ladies have that's going to overshadow their American flag. So, that was really interesting. I never knew that organization existed. So I went to the meeting. About 80% were German. And that little community I live in, I didn't realize, were mostly German families that came from Germany. I had so much fun. I said, you guys still speak your German language? They go, raise your hand. Okay. You guys still eat German food? Uh-huh, yeah. I made them recognize that they were ethnic. You still speak your language, you still eat your food, you're ethnic. You come from teaching. So consequently, I started to create a relationship with the white people in my community. I knew where they came from, what families they came from when they immigrated to America, why they came, just one-on-one. And God got to appreciate them a little bit more. Does that make sense? And that's the gift that we have. We cannot embrace everybody, but one-on-one, we started to embrace each other, okay? And I went to, when I was in high school in Los Angeles, and this is my final story. So I came from an Indian reservation to L.A. School started. I went to this high school. Oh, my God. It was humongous. All kinds of people. Different races. Anyway, I was in heaven. It didn't scare me. I was excited, you know, because there's all kinds of people. But then the first month, guess who found each other? An Indian girl from Pine Ridge, two girls who immigrated from Syria, and three Russian girls that immigrated from this way, Mexico, and came to L.A. through Mexico. And I didn't know what an Armenian was. And they were telling me that the southern, that Russian part of Russia was being overrun, and so they had to leave. They brought the whole damn village to L.A. Not just mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, but the whole village. There was like 60 people lived in a 10-block area, all Russian. So I got to be hanging around with Russians, learn their culture and language. And then the grandpas had beards down to here. And they still wore those babushkas, those little tunic things. Completely 8-block area of Russia. And that was such an eye-opener for me. So to conclude this, I wanted to tell you, there's so much learning out there. There's so much to experience, to not allow yourself to be afraid. Step out of your comfort zone. Learn more. And then even meeting her last year at our gathering in Santa Fe, I got a fellowship. And to be an artist, scared about Zeus's out of me, you know. But anyway, since then I've been moving into the art world a little bit more. I've been writing more, expressing myself more with words. I've been writing poetry. Damn, I'm a good writer. I didn't realize how good I was, you know. I went to Catholic boarding school. That's probably why, you know. The final story was that when 3 years ago, one of my classes in Porcupine, I said, you guys, I have to go do something, so I'm excuse you. So it was time for me to go get my little girl spirit at the boarding school. So I drove from Porcupine to Red Cloud Indian School. I parked. Red Cloud Indian School is brick building. And it's a picture of the Virgin Mary statue right here that's been there a long time. I walked into the building. I walked up to the stairs. I went to this doorway where the little girl's dormitory used to be. I tried to open the door. It wouldn't open. So the lady came out. She said, that's where the Jesuits live. I said, in the dormitory? She said, yeah, they converted it to the Jesuits' living quarters. I said, okay. Underneath that door, there was like a 3-inch opening. So I got my medicine. I stuck it. And I did what I was supposed to do. And he went when I achignikte. He went when I achignikte. He went when I achignikte. He went. I went after my little girl spirit. And she'd been waiting there all that time. What I discovered was my trauma was missing my mom as a little girl. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Those are the times when we need our mom the most. How many of you know that? Hug. Yeah. And we're in a boarding school, surrounded by nuns. We didn't get that nurturing. So my little girl was hurt, and she'd been waiting in there for me. So 3 years ago, I went after her. I brought her home, and I shut that door. I pulled into it. I picked her up, went around. I came to my car, talking to me. Yo, I'm so... Sat her down, even put this seatbelt on her. And so I backed up. I drove out of the school complex, got on the interstate. I mean, the highway, got to Highway 18 and talking to her, visiting with her. Pulled into my driveway, and guess who was waiting for her? My mom. My grandma. All the Ochis that left, and my mom, he went. So she said, bye. She left me, and she went home with me. Was that healing? So one of the other things is to understand my trauma. What is it that still hurts us? And what do we have to do? So being creative and making my dolls, my women dolls, has been a wonderful journey of my own healing work. And it's an act of expression, but mostly doing it. So today I can talk about it. And when I was doing it, I knew there was a reason why I was doing this. I just didn't know. It felt good. Some of you know. You feel it, but you just can't put words to it. So when I finished that, so if now I talk to them, I play with them. Talk to my ladies and start making them, you know. So anyway, so I do a little bit. I'm going to be Senator Udall sent me a letter. I'll be testifying in front of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs on May 1st on one of my bills that Senator Thune introduced. final story. Senator Thune is my friend. He's a Republican, but he takes care of me, okay? He does. He really, I tell my goals to his staff and his office for help. He manages to help me. And he really is, again, he's a senator from South Dakota. And sometimes he's standing behind McConnell in some of those pictures, you know. But I can't look at that because over here he's helping me on my education budget. I can't look at that because over here he's helping me on something else. Does that make sense? The hardest part of doing this work, Verlaine will tell you, is sometimes there are friends on something, and the next time they're working against us, then you go, ah, you know. So my thing is I don't watch news. So I just work with him and his staff and Mike Rounds. And, of course, Dusty Johnson is our new congressman. So I went to his office, and so Senator Thune introduced me to him. He says, Cecilia Firestone, you need to know her. You know what Dusty Johnson says? Oh, my God, you're famous. You know why? I was a real proponent. We killed the abortion bills, remember, to make abortion legal. We've had a big battle in the state. Yeah, remember that? Twice they tried to take away our rights to choose. Anyway, apparently he was on the other side. I didn't know that. So anyway, so I just want, I'm really glad. Thank you. I can talk on and on, but I'm just really grateful for my life. I'm grateful for all my experiences. I'm grateful for knowing Verlaine. She's a white woman from Fargo, North Dakota. But we've worked really hard on a number of issues. We've been across the country. I think the greatest thing I love is Facebook. We're all in touch. Indian women are all communicating at all levels, from Canada, California. We're all weighing in on issues, checking on each other, right? If you get too somehow, I just delete you. Okay. Anyway, any questions?